Well,
Okay, we're
yeah.
live.
Yeah, we're live. No, we're not live. It's a pre-record. Thank you very much for taking time to have a chat with me. So we've got Peter Downey, who's the filmmaker, and we've got Bonga Bob, who is the
Hello,
artist.
Annie.
Oh,
Hello.
how do you say
I said hello.
it? G'day. How are you?
It's pronounced Boinga Bob.
Boinga Bob. Okay, and we've got Boinga Bob here as well. Now, the film, there's
As
two.
well.
Oh, hello, dog. There's two films that you've got in the
Yes.
Melbourne Documentary Film Festival, and Boinga Bob is part of the inside story of outside art. So we'll start off with that. Tell me, I mean, you say in the film that you're a self-confessed self-starter when it comes to filmmaking. So tell me about how you got into the filmmaking game.
Okay, yeah. So I'm self-taught. Yeah, I didn't go to film school or anything like that, and I've never had funding or grants or anything to make my films. And how I fell into it, I was in a job I didn't like, and I thought, and I hadn't, and I used to, a long time I've been a muso and painted, and I was just in a normal job I didn't like, and I was getting, and I wasn't doing any art anymore, and I wasn't getting anywhere financially, and then a local permaculture group in Warburton, where I live, were like keen to get, a film made about permaculture, and inspired me to do that. And then, which my first film is Anima Mundi, which did really well, though I got ripped off by a US distributor because I didn't know anything about the film industry and film contracts and things like that. Yeah, and I was able to get David Holmgren into it, who was, like the co-founder of permaculture, and I was, which was, I was quite amazed. I never expected to get David Holmgren in, as a nobody filmmaker in my doco, and that really got the ball rolling. Because once I had David in the film, then when you approach other people, oh, you've got a name like David Holmgren in your film, it's easy to get other interviews. And then, yeah, and so Anima Mundi did quite well for me. That was in 2011.
And you obviously choose the subjects that you're keen to actually. You've got a philosophical view to filmmaking, that's what I'm
Yes,
getting
very
at.
much. Even if the Anima Mundi, the second half got quite philosophical, and getting into like the Gaia type hypothesis and things. And then I've done one on Earth rights. That's more like law and environmental law and things like that. But these latest two films, both Stupa, The Outsider Artist, and The Deep Ecology, are both deeply philosophical films. And I didn't expect Boinga's film to turn out so. It's quite profound in many ways. It's quite deep.
But it's also quite amusing, which is a bit like you, Bob.
It is
I
amusing.
mean, in the sense that you're philosophical, you've made a whole life of seeking out truths, haven't you?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, so, and
I
that's what your house is about, isn't it?
It is where I think we're all here to learn something, and I've been very inspired. The fact that I'm alive, and the fact there's a whole planet full of people who don't know what they're doing here. So I've done a lot of traveling around the world to, with different religion and philosophy, trying to work out my own idea. And I reckon the most important thing is gratitude. We all need to have gratitude. The fact that we're alive at all, the fact that we've got air to breathe and we've got doggy fins, it's all given to us. And the bodies that we're living in, we don't own our body. The body's on loan from Mother Earth. And one day she'll take it back again, either by cremation or burial or Tibet's sky body. But the fact that we're alive at all, it's wonderful. So I've been inspired to make some architecture to, symbolize the journey of life.
You come from an electronic. What are you? What was? How did you make your money? You're like all those telecom guys that got sacked and who were incredibly brainy.
I'm a qualified electrical engineer, and I've got a master's degree in mechanical engineering and systems engineering. And I've had a lot of inventions, things I've invented in my lifetime, things that have been used in the telecommunication industry.
Yeah, which sort of it says something about your house because you are full of confidence. You just decide you're going to do it, and you
Yeah,
do.
that's right.
Well, that's actually very exciting to most
It's
people because you talk about this thing about people being masters of limitation. I thought that was a fantastic quote.
that's right. Well, we should be masters of manifestation. And if you want to get to know yourself, you've got to become a master of manifestation. So this building here, it's part of my manifesting, and I'm still working on it. It's a very exciting project.
I noticed that even in the film, just if we look at your house, because we see parts of it, and then it like it's a grand production, in fact. But you have things that you particularly like that wooden those wooden frames that you make that are like organic. Yeah, that's really interesting. I mean, so as with all artists, you actually have motifs, don't you?
Yeah, they're inspired by fractals. Fractals is the thumbprint of God. The shapes, in my carvings, they're in trees and plants. That's why they look so good with the nature, because they're based on nature. Fractal architecture.
All right,
And
okay.
I think I've explored that more than anybody.
And so, Peter, in this particular film about it's called Stupa, you talk to Bob, Bunga Bob, but you also talk to a variety of other people as well. I mean, and
That's
these
right.
people are very large brains, so how do you contain it in your movie?
But that was, I've got to admit, like from when I first started filming this, I was like, God, how am I going to make a film about Bob? You know, he's so eccentric and out of the box sort of thing. And then, and it actually came together quite amazingly in the editing process. It was really easy the way it all just flowed. But there was a fellow, Guy Feldman, at the Rainbow Temple in Rosebank in northern New South Wales. And I was blown away because him and Boinga Bob are so similar in the sense that they both built temples and without any council permits and breaking a lot of rules and things like that. But the council turned a blind eye for both him and Boinga because it brought tourism and attracted things like that when especially way back when Warburton was a lot quieter town when Bob first began. When was that? 30s, longer, 40 years ago. Because like the house you see in the film, as you know, I don't want to give too much away, but yeah, he had another. This is
Well,
his
it's quite
second.
dramatic. The whole it's not just an exploration of artistic process, your film. It's actually because it's real, like it's in real time and real place, and they're your neighbors and people you know.
That's right. Yeah, it's quite personal. Like, there could have been a parties here, and there's footage from parties and things that we've done here over the years, and I've helped Wonga out. Preparing and doing work, as have seen the film, many, many other people. So
And it's quite dramatic. And I did
pretty.
actually really want to know, like Bob, you were saying that actually someone rang up and told you that they burnt down your first place and that they were sorry. I was wondering what was the actual reason for someone wanting to, was it because you were so strange that you had to be burnt out, or what was that all
Yeah,
about?
well, thing is, the place got burnt down, and about 2 years after, somebody knocked here at my front door and said, "Bob, look, I'm sorry, but I'm the one that burnt your house down." And I said, "No, I forgive you, but please don't do that again,
Yeah,
because
exactly.
if you can't forgive, you're in prison."
Well,
A
that's
very
right.
famous person once said, "Forgive me, ye shall be forgiven,"
Well,
and
that's true.
I believe in those words. As long as you don't forgive people, you're in prison.
Well, the reason for why I brought it up is because I started to think about it. I mean, one, it's weird, it's strange, but it was more like these parallel universes running together. Was it that you as a creative spirit has created this thing which tourists come to look at in a place like Warburton, and then someone decides that they've got to get rid of you because their mindset is so conservative? Is that Was that was what was going on, or
Yeah,
was it
well,
because that you were taking the limelight from other people, or?
might have been jealous possibly, and
Yeah.
it's hard to know how people think that when they burn your house down.
Well, that's for
But
sure.
the bloke told me that he burned it, and I said, "Look, I forgive you, and otherwise I'm in prison."
Yeah. Well, I'll say the other houses are
It
fantastic
does
too.
do it again.
Yeah. Well,
Yeah, don't do it again.
I was going to say I had to get permission, obviously, from Bob to actually put that in the film.
Oh,
So,
righto. Yeah, because, well, it's
fine.
highly significant. It's just a little throwaway
Yeah,
line, but it
the
really,
slow
really makes
motion.
you think about things. She says, this is so curious. Why would someone do that? Anyway, moving right along, the other people are fantastic as well. I really love the guy that house. I'd love to go and see that house that he's put all the
Hillsville.
jokes. Yeah, the jokes he's put into his house.
Yeah, Steve Curry in Hillsville. Yeah, he's a funny guy. Like, see, again, these are all friends of mine. I've been so lucky that the only person who wasn't a criminal was Guy Feldman, but Sue Dolman and Steve Curry, both close friends of mine, have known for a long time, and I just happen to know these crazy artists who make these crazy houses. So it was like, so when I started with Bob, I thought, I know a few other artists like Bob, just luckily enough, and then so yeah. And Steve, yeah, he's amazing. He used to have an antique shop and things like that. So over many, many years, he's like a bowerbird who collected many, many different things from, and building sites and things like that, and was able. So a lot of that house, I think he said, it's about 95% recycled material.
Yeah, he did, but
Yeah,
also
brilliant.
it's
And it's quite
really.
impressive one the way he put it together. It's an amazing amount of work. Like one thing with Stupa that I've said this before at the Q&A is that, like, I feel like really lazy compared to Steve Curry and Boing the Bob and Sue Dolman and Guy Fawkes and the amount of work that they've done in there, and Boinga did it twice, in their lifetime, and compared to just making a
I made a
documentary, it's
place
not
in
that
Alaska.
physically hard.
I built a place in Alaska as well,
Yeah, exactly.
on
Yeah.
an island, up
Oh,
with all the humpback whales and grizzly
right.
bears, dolphins and eagles, living on an island in Alaska.
Well, people have to go and see the film because it does actually explore creative impulse. Because, I mean, not everybody understands sculpture, and that's what you've made, isn't it, Bob? You've
Yeah.
made a sculpture, but it's a living sculpture.
Well, I felt it, my heart, my inner voice. I felt it, know my feelings.
Yeah, that's right. It's quite extraordinary, actually. And as a, I mean, if we go on to the other film, which is Deep Ecology, it strikes me that you are a filmmaker that seeks out a good story, as it were. Is that right?
Well, yeah, but the deep ecology one, I was skeptical of making that one because, as you've seen it, it's so intimate
Yeah,
and personal.
very.
And I cried editing it. There was times when I'd come to tears editing it, and I still do when I watch it again because it's so, in a way, that's so beautiful about people's compassion for the earth and in that intimate space that they're in without giving too much away. The deep ecology workshop
Well, it's
and
actually
allow.
very important.
Me to come and film it was like, yeah,
Yeah.
really, yeah. It took a while to set up and get people who were okay, but for that to be filmed,
That's what I was going to ask you because it's terribly intimate.
yes,
And
totally. It's hard to do.
yeah, to get people to, as a filmmaker, to actually allow people to feel comfortable enough for you to be there with the camera. But in a way, they forget you were there.
Yeah, because a lot of everyone in that film were quite experienced deep ecologists and had been to many workshops before, so it wasn't like their first time at a truth mandala sort of thing. So, yeah, everyone who wanted to be a part of it was fine with that sort of thing. Yeah, but it was it was just a very deep film.
Well, it is, but also people could be skeptical in a sense, and so you don't disassociate yourself from the film. You become a narrator in a sense, but
Absolutely, yeah.
you're.
I give my own truth mandala in it. Yeah, exactly. I felt like, and because, like I said, from my very first film, it's always been ecologically minded, and it's still to this day, and even, and so the deep ecology is part of that, and it even I think that comes across in Stupa as well. It's got a bit of an eco angle to it as well. So,
Well, that's what I mean, really. It's, I mean, before we leave deep ecology, and I will ask you the last question I want to ask you, I want to ask you about this thing. You're quite natty in the way you make your films, like in deep ecology, in the first, in the other film about insider story of outsider art, the people are so grand and their productions are so grand, they lead the story, right? It just has to have be so. While in deep ecology, a much more curated film, but you come up with very natty motifs. Like I really like the TV. I mean, it's
Thank you.
And also the signs that are held by twigs that look like hands.
Yes, I like, yeah, that was it. Some of this comes from my very first Animal Mundi, some of the ideas I had back then. But like the TV is a bit of a trick with filmmaking, because if you're going to use archival footage or say footage from someone's mobile phone, if they sent you an interview with themselves on that or something, it's a different frame size. And so it doesn't look good blown up to fit in like a full HD. So you've got to shrink it. And using an old television and embedding it into that sort of is a nice arty way of using the footage, yeah, sort of thing. And then the tree signs, yeah, that was like I've had that for a long time. That's in a lot of my films. It's like nature is speaking. Yeah,
Yeah,
the tree,
it's
trees are holding
very,
signs.
it's very cute, and it, the thing about that particular film is that you get across quite a lot of information. It's not
Yeah.
just it which it's not even that long, really, for the amount of information you get across.
It's quite dense in a way. There's a lot of info in it, yeah. But it like it's very it's more like a very philosophical environmental documentary.
Did you do a lot of research or did you rely on your mentors in that sphere for
In
the
that, I
information?
do I just relied on my mentors, and I already knew so many people because John Seed was in my first film, Animal Mundi, and we had a little chapter on deep ecology. And John's been in a few, but I did a film called Esteem, which is like on eco-psychology, and John was in that as well. And yeah, so it's just like, and so he's one of my mentors. And then the one of the workshops that I filmed at is was held locally. So again, I was very lucky that a lot of this came to me at this Camp Eureka, this old communist camp, where they regularly still has like four deep ecology workshops here a year near Warburton. And so it was, you know, and that I just attend each one and stuff, put me there and doing interviews and things. So again, a lot of it came to me. I didn't have to travel very far for either of these films, really. Only for Guy Feldman had to go up north, but otherwise everyone sort of came to me. It was really good.
How long did it take you to make the first film?
I was making them both at the same time.
Ah.
Because you know, with docos, like there's always gaps in between things. It's not working every day, so I was making both at the same time, as well as hanging out here with Bob, and we were starting on your fence, wasn't it, at that
Yeah, we
point?
did a big red
Yeah, we were
project.
doing a big fence
It
project
looks
here, so
really
he's
good.
filming, you know, bits of helping with Bob, and then going to the deep ecology workshops, and so I filmed them both at the same time. And which did I edit first? Which I did the deep ecology film first. Yeah, I did. I edited that, then I edited Stupa, then I went back and re-edited the deep ecology because I had to. I needed to begin it in a better way to warm the audience up into how intimate and, you know, moving it can be. So yeah, that was the only thing I did. But like the old
Did
better way they done it.
influence each other? Did the feel of one have an influence on the other?
I don't know if they did, but they're both very deeply philosophical in their own
Yeah,
way,
no,
you
they
know.
are. They are deeply philosophical.
Yeah, but yeah.
I mean, the thing about there's something extremely honest about these two films, which I find really fascinating. I mean, because you know, basically all filmmaking is contrived, but there's something unmediated about the way you've made these films. And the thing about deep ecology, for example, you have two pieces in it, which I find really fascinating, especially as I do radio, you know, I go to demonstrations, I do all that sort of stuff. So in a way, this is, I do similar things, but without visuals. You say that thing about when you went to the sustainability festival and the person came up to you and I thought, oh my God, I've had moments like that too. I won't, it's like, you know, people that you expect will be much more, open-minded are as closed as boxes. It's
Yeah,
just,
that was amazing at my very, yeah, that was my very first big screening, Federation Square.
yeah.
Yeah, but someone even expecting that thinks that, it's a conspiracy.
Which leads you to, and so the whole film allows a whole lot of different perspectives as you watch the film. So people are actively, who are watching it, are required to be involved in the film itself. That's what I suppose I'm getting at.
Okay, great. That's how it comes across as excellent. It's good.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
It's quite seductive. It's a little
That's
bit
how
like,
I like to edit how it goes out. It's like by feel, because I'm not going to film school, not having that, those standards that just put it together by feel. So I'm glad it comes across that way. Yeah. The only bit of feedback, because the funny thing about Boinga with the film festival is that he's been in two films in 3 years now at the Melbourne Doco Fest, because he was one with Pompey Man with Jeff Bird. And Jeff Bird actually gave me a bit of advice on the Deep Ecology film, and hence I went back and we chatted a little bit about it, and I re-edited it, and then it's got into the film festival too. So, yeah. But how's that for Boinga? Two films in 3 years.
that played all over California,
Yeah.
Combi Man,
Yeah,
on
that's
the big
right.
screen.
On the big screen. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So
You have to
when is,
drive in the theater. It's funny seeing those photos.
yeah, when are you going, when is it showing? Because because the Melbourne Documentary Film Festival's got a on-screen, online sort of sequence, but it's also got an in theatre. So
Oh,
your
outscreen.
films are being on in the theatre.
Yeah, in the theater. Yeah, it's on Stupa is on July 19th at quarter past nine with the Q&A, and Bob and Steve Curry's coming down and all that. It'd be fun. And Deep Ecology is a double feature with another environmental doco on Thursday the 24th of July, quarter past six.
Cool.
Yeah, so I'm very lucky to get two in. It was amazing, but because I was doing both at the same time, I had two to enter. But I was really I was very confident that Stupa would get in, because Boinga Bob's quite famous, and he's already well known around Melbourne. He's been on Channel 7 and Birthday Garden, all this stuff, and so I was confident, but I was really happy that the Deep Ecology film got in too, because all those people who contributed, as you saw, really put their hearts and souls on the line and out there for the world to see. So I'm glad that the Doco Fest, appreciated that and has included it as well.
So, in terms of, I mean, you said that, in a sense, being ripped off by an American distributor taught you something and about distribution. And obviously, when you make your films and everyone you learn something new about, sending it to the Melbourne Documentary Film Festival and perhaps other festivals, has that been a learning curve? Are you happy that it's there?
Yeah, well, there's the learning curve is that, yeah, you want to be just be wary for any filmmakers that you don't, or what film festivals you enter. There's a lot of overseas ones, unless you've got a really big subject topic or something, or interview, someone very famous, that they're gonna, it's harder to get in. Whereas us, because Melbourne and Bob's well known in Victoria, Melbourne, to see, it puts bums on seats, and it's easier to get into festivals like that. So I'd be, yeah, if I do it again, I'd be more choosy on what festivals enter, what ones are just adding the league, it's like Sundance or something. Like, there's no point entering that. They get 16,000 entries or something, waste of money. So yeah, in that sort of sense, yeah, I'd be more savvy next time. Get some.
Well, also very exciting to see it on a big screen.
Yeah, totally. That's my favorite bit. I always said it, like the first time I get to see it, like at the Warburton Theatre when we had a sold out premiere screening. The Stupa, and it's
Yeah,
the first
sold
time I
out.
get to see it on the big screen, editing on a small screen, Apple, and then finally you get to see it on it, and that's always, and I love that bit, and I love, and here the audience reaction is also a buzz, and Stupa got a lot more laughs than I thought it would. I wasn't, yeah, I was like, oh, I knew there's some funny bits in there, but it definitely got a lot more laughs than I was expected.
Oh, it actually is funny. It's really
Yeah,
amusing.
it's quite funny. Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's really philosophical and
But
very.
life is amusing,
Yeah, it's very light-hearted, and yeah. So in the one sense, Stoop is like a light-hearted doco, and the Deep Ecology one is more, it's got more darker, maybe. Yeah, there's a
Well,
dark.
no, the thing about
Yeah.
deep ecology is we've come to a point in the business of destruction of the earth
Yeah.
that it's a line in the sand, basically, and
Totally.
that's what this film's about. It's people have to change their attitude and their connection. And the Animus said it right.
Yeah, and Joanne Macy, that telling of that, you know, that what's that? Not the Mandela Warrior Prophecy. What is it again? The Shambhala Warrior Prophecy. The telling of that in it, and all, and it is like you said, it's a drawing of the line now. It's just like, yeah, if we don't turn the ship around, and I'm not so sure that we are, and I think a lot of people in the world realize that, you know, it could be very hard to turn the ship around now. But how do we best adapt to the, you know, moving forward now?
But that's what you'll film. I mean,
How
that's why
adapt?
it's an interesting film. That's why it's an important film, because most people aren't making films about this at this point. You know,
Yeah,
they're
that's
still
quite true.
thinking
Like,
that
yeah,
they
we're gonna.
can use green technology or, you know what I
Yeah,
mean?
that's one of the. Yeah, look, we discussed it like this whole. I say that in my narration about how we're infinite growth on a finite planet is the problem that no energy source can fix. So we can make all the solar panels we want in the world, but it's like if we're just going to keep growing and growing and growing and growing, we're going to hit a wall, pretty obviously. So unless, you know, but then there's people who are into magical thinking and free energy being suppressed and things like that. So which again, you know, it adds to the problem is, yeah. So
Anyway, that's why the film itself is pretty timely, and I can
thank you.
recommend
Good.
people to watch it, basically.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. Have you seen it, Bob? Boonga Bob, have you?
No, not deep ecology.
Oh no, I haven't seen deep ecology.
Well,
Bob's coming tomorrow.
you'll have to come along and see it, and then you
Yeah,
can tell us what you think about it.
Yes. Yeah,
Yeah,
we're going to go
because
look
it's
at.
right up your alley,
Yeah,
basically.
we'll go together. But I haven't seen it yet, though.
So,
Yeah, I'm looking forward to big screen because a lot of those macro shots in it, like some of the video shots and the macro shots, are going to look really good on the big
no,
screen.
that's right. Very interesting. And thank you very much for taking some time to talk to me, both of you,
Thank
because
you
we've
for that.
come to the end of our time.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much, and you
Thank you.
come visit sometime.
Yeah.
You're
Yeah,
welcome to come.
yeah. Okay, I will. I will. You
You might.
recognize me.
I'm making a big pyramid at the moment, a very big pyramid.
Oh, righto.
Yeah.
Is it because it has special properties, pyramids?
Well, it just happened, though. It's following spirit. Going beyond the beyond to make known the unknown.
Thanks,
We
mate.
become the beyond to make known the unknown. If you don't go beyond the beyond, you're stuck in the here and now and you go nowhere.
Yeah, that's true.
It's good to have new invention, new territory, and new thinking is always good, I think.
I think you're probably right. All
Yeah,
right.
it's been great to talk to you.
Yeah,
Yeah,
you
thank you.
too. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ciao.
Thank
Ciao.
you. This is going.